start. So I told him to kind of tee it up for me, but I'm actually going to go backwards from where he was.
Is that it?
Yep.
Yeah, much better. So we're going to go backwards from where he was. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for the bright sunshine and the beautiful weather we're having right now. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all these young ones that are coming into the world, and we thank you for the blessing that you bestowed upon their parents and us as their church family. Heavenly Father, we're just so grateful for who you are, and Heavenly Father, we're humbled and touched the way that you love us. Heavenly Father, even though that we don't deserve to be loved, you chose to love us, and Heavenly Father, and to call us family. Heavenly Father, I ask for blessings upon these words this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, Gabe looked at Genesis chapter 22, and he read about Abraham and Isaac. So we're going to take a quick look at that, and then we're going to go backwards from there on Abraham's life. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham, here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you." So that's all the farther I'm going to read here. So Abraham was asked to take his son and to sacrifice. So Gabe had read through this story last week and talked about ultimately we know that God provided a lamb to be sacrificed, and he didn't ultimately sacrifice Isaac. But he was willing to, because that's what God had told him to do till God stopped him. So that was the faith that Abraham had in God, that he was going to do whatever God told him to do. That's what he was going to do. But how did he get to this point? Well, turn back with me to Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you, and will greatly increase your numbers." Abraham fell face down, and God said to him, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you now reside as a foreigner, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God." Verse 9, "Then God said to Abraham, 'As for you, you must keep my covenant, and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come. This is my covenant with you and your descendants after you, the covenant you are to keep.'" So here, God has established in that bond with Abraham, one that greatly increased his faith in God as the time he went to Isaac. Go back with me into Genesis chapter 15. Chapter 15, verse 4. "Then the word of the Lord came to him, 'This man will be this man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. He took him outside and said, look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. So as we see, there's another reinforcement to something we're going to get to coming up that was in his past, that God was reinforcing a covenant that he made that we're going to go to here soon. So he said, your offspring's going to be like the stars in the sky. So what do we refer to Abraham as? There's a song about it we sung in VBS. Father Abraham. So Father Abraham had many sons. Go back with me to Genesis chapter 12. Chapter 12, verse 2. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great. And you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples of earth will be blessed through you. So there's the original blessing that God was telling Abraham that he was going to bestow upon him. But this had me thinking, who is Abraham that God would do this to? Did he come from a great lineage of a priest, or how did Abraham get to be this to this point that he was going to be blessed? Well, turn with me to Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24, verse 2. Joshua said to all the people, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Long ago your ancestors, including Terah, the father of Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates River and worshipped other gods. But I took your father Abraham from the land of the Euphrates and led him through Canaan, or throughout Canaan, and gave him many descendants. I gave him Isaac. And to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau, and assigned the hill country of Seir to Esau. But Jacob and his family went down to Egypt. So look at that. He refers to his father, to Abraham's father, Terah, as the father of Abraham and Nora, lived beyond the Euphrates River, and worshipped other gods. That seemed kind of odd to me, that Abraham's father worshipped other gods. Turn back with me to Genesis, chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11, verse 31. So Abraham's father took his son Abram and his grandson Lot, son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, the wife of his son Abram, and together they set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. Terah lived 205 years, and he died in Haran. So they settled in Haran. So Abraham was with his father when they settled in Haran. If you read previously, Abraham's father was 70 years old when he had Abraham, and he lived to be 205 years old. So go to Genesis chapter 12. Verse 1 says, the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country and from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. Jump to verse 4. So Abraham went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. So that means his father would have been 145 years old. So from the time he was born, he stayed with his father's household for 75 years before he left those people. Well, if those people were worshiping other gods, it doesn't say if they always worshiped other gods or just one point, but I'm thinking Abraham was probably not getting great influences by the people of his father's household. And here, God removed him from that household and had him go out on his own to separate himself from his father's family, which I'm assuming weren't great influences. I could be wrong. I might be reading more into it than not. But to me, it seems like Abraham was the first generation of his family to really devote himself to God. But again, I could be reading more into it. But it seems like God separated Abram from his family so that Abraham would rely solely on God, that he wouldn't rely upon his family's past, but it was an individual relationship. So then it struck me as we go back and we think about all the blessings that God bestowed on Abraham as we go through, that was on his own merits, his own relationship with God. It wasn't built upon somebody else's relationship. It wasn't because my grandmother had a relationship, my mother had a relationship, my father had a relationship. This was an individual relationship with one person, with God. And I think about all the lost today. Some have great family histories, some great influences, but they can only lead you to the water. Us as parents can only lead our children to the water. We can't have them take on that living water. That's their individual relationship with God. So I think about those without good upbringings and bad backgrounds. There's still hope for them. There's still hope that they can have a relationship with God. When we have this picnic, we're going to encounter a lot that haven't graced the doors of a church, that don't have a relationship with God. But there's still hope for them. There's still hope that they could do wonderful things for Christ, that God can break down those doors, that God could separate them, remove them from the negative things in their past, and God can influence that. So I thank God for my upbringing, and my parents led me to the water, and that I found God. But I also am thankful for those that are in our community that still have time to find God, that we can still lead them to the water, we can speak words of encouragement to them, we can take this opportunity that God's given us to meet with them in the park, meet them in a neutral area, and just love on them and to point them to God. And as we read through Abraham's story, we see there's times in his life that he also failed. I think of the time that comes right up. Right in Genesis chapter 12. We go down through after God just gave him the blessing and said, verse 3, I will bless those who bless you, I will curse, or whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. You go down just a little bit farther, and Abraham asked his wife to lie to Pharaoh and say he was just her sister, because he was afraid for his life. How soon did he forget God's blessing, that he was going to bless him and do all these things through him, and then he took it on himself to tell a lie because he was trying to save himself, not relying upon God. So we see that Abraham wasn't perfect, just like none of us are perfect, but God still used him. God still loved him, and God still used him. So even though sometimes we feel like, well, we can't do this, we can't do that, God can still work through us. God can forgive us and lift us up and take us to greater places than we can ever imagine. So even though that wasn't as short as Gabe's, that's it. Everybody stand with me. But I'd encourage you, like Gabe did last week, to take some time, because we're getting out a little early, to talk to somebody you haven't talked to before. Meet somebody you haven't met. We're a small body, but I'm shy by nature, so it's tough for me to go talk to people I haven't talked to before. But I encourage you to get to know our family members here and think about who you can talk to next week at the picnic. Even though you're probably shy too and you're going to see people maybe you've encountered at Albright's, I encourage you to walk up to them and talk to them. Heavenly Father, I just pray that you will give us the boldness to stand up for you, to stand up for what's right, And Heavenly Father, just fill us with the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, regardless of our backgrounds, we're on equal footings with you. And Heavenly Father, I thank you for the many generations of believers that have passed down to their children and their children's children their love for you. But Heavenly Father, we know it's an individual choice. It's an individual relationship that we have with you. And Heavenly Father, help us not to rely upon those of the past, but Lord, that we'll step out in boldness, that you'll empower us to seek that relationship with you. And Heavenly Father, to know you in ways that we can never imagine. Lord, we think about those in our community, Lord, and we just ask for blessings upon them as we reach out with other churches for the purpose to glorify you. And Heavenly Father, ask for blessings upon this week. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.